Welcome to the weekend edition of the Daily Stoic Podcast. On Sundays, we take a deeper dive into these ancient topics with excerpts from the Stoic texts, audiobooks that we like here or recommend here at Daily Stoic, and other long-form wisdom that you can chew on this relaxing weekend. We hope this helps shape your understanding of this philosophy, and most importantly, that you're able to apply it to your actual life. Thank you for listening. Hey, it's Ryan Holiday. Welcome to another episode of the Daily Stoic Podcast. I'm going to read you something from Lives of the Stoics here real fast, because it ties in to what we are talking about today. So Cicero is one of the most interesting writers about the Stoics, as you know, not the greatest practitioner, but if it were not for Cicero, we would not have so much of the Stoic writings. So this is what I write in Lives of the Stoics. In 46 BC, Cicero published the Stoic Paradoxes, dedicated to Marcus Brutus, who himself had Stoic leanings. In what was a more rhetorical exercise than a serious philosophical treatment, he explored six of the primary Stoic paradoxes. Number one, that virtue is the only good. Number two, that it is sufficient for happiness. Three, that all vices and virtues are equal. Four, that all fools are mad. Five, that only the sage is truly free. And six, that the wise person alone is rich. And these are not paradoxes in the logical sense, only that they flew in the face of common sense. And it's the counterintuitiveness of each of these ideas that the Stoics leaned on to catch people's attention. How can virtue be the only good if we need health and money to live? Is a lie really as bad as killing someone? Plenty of philosophers were visibly poor. How were they rich? Basically, there's endless possibilities for discussion here, counterexamples for gotcha moments. And Cicero loved noodling with the prompts that had been laid down by Zeno and Cleanthes and Aristo and all the early Stoics. And that's what we're going to be talking about in today's episode. We have Stoic Paradoxes number 2 and 3 for you to noodle on and listen to, and I'm excited to bring you that. Enjoy. There's a lot of things we know would be good for us. Problem is, we don't have time. It's just tougher. I think therapy is like that. We all know that sitting down, talking to someone, really working on our issues will make a difference. So the problem is finding a therapist, driving across town, all of that, right? And that's where Talkspace comes in, today's sponsor. Because by doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easier, more accessible, and more affordable. With Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. You can have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. And Talkspace is secure and private, using the latest end-to-end grade encryption to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to talkspace.com/stoic and enter code SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to talkspace.com/stoic and enter promo code SPACE80, that's 80, to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's talkspace.com/stoic, promo code SPACE80.
Paradox 2. A man who is virtuous is destitute of no requisite of a happy life. Never, for my part, did I imagine Marcus Regulus to have been distressed or unhappy or wretched because his magnanimity was not tortured by the Carthaginians, nor was the weight of his authority, nor his honor, nor was his resolution, nor was one of his virtues. Nor, in short, did his soul suffer their torments. For a soul with the guard and retinue of so many virtues never surely could be taken, though his body was made captive. We have seen Caius Marius. He, in my opinion, was in prosperity one of the happiest, and in adversity one of the greatest of men, than which man can have no happier lot. Thou knowest not, foolish man, thou knowest not what power virtue possesses. Thou only usurpest the name of virtue. Thou art a stranger to her influence. No man who is wholly consistent within himself, and who reposes all his interests in himself alone, can be otherwise than completely happy. but the man whose every hope and scheme and design depends upon fortune, such a man can have no certainty, can possess nothing assured to him as destined to continue for a single day. If you have any such man in your power, you may terrify him by threats of death or exile. But whatever can happen to me in so ungrateful a country will find me not only not opposing, but even not refusing it. To what purpose have I toiled? To what purpose have I acted? Or on what have my cares and meditations been watchfully employed, if I have produced and arrived at no such results, as that neither the outrages of fortune nor the injuries of enemies can shatter me? Do you threaten me with death, which is separating me from mankind, or with exile, which is removing me from the wicked? Death is dreadful to the man whose all is extinguished with his life, but not to him whose glory can never die. Exile is terrible to those who have, as it were, a circumscribed habitation, but not to those who look upon the whole globe but as one city. Troubles and miseries oppress thee who thinkest thyself happy and prosperous. Thy lusts torment thee. Day and night thou art upon the rack, for whom that which thou possessest is not sufficient, and who art ever trembling, lest even that should not continue. The consciousness of thy misdeeds tortures thee. The terrors of the laws and the dread of justice appall thee. Look where thou wilt. Thy crimes, like so many furies, meet thy view and suffer thee not to breathe. Therefore, as no man can be happy if he is wicked, foolish, or indolent, so no man can be wretched if he is virtuous, brave, and wise. Glorious is the life of that man whose virtues and practice are praiseworthy, nor indeed ought that life to be escaped from which is deserving of praise, though it might well be if it were a wretched one. We are therefore to look upon whatever is worthy of praise as at once happy, prosperous, and desirable.
I've talked a lot about my morning routine here. One of the things I do every morning after I get up is I take a bunch of vitamins that my doctor recommended after some blood tests. I take a vitamin C, a zinc, a omega-3, and I take a couple others who I'm forgetting, but I definitely know whose vitamins I take. And they actually happen to be today's sponsor, and I've been taking them long before Thorne sponsored today's episode. Thorne takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with all their supplements, and they've teamed up with leading medical professionals to bring out highly effective nutritional supplements. Because I'm a runner, I'm always trying to take care of my joints. And with Thorne, I never have to question what's in each supplement. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your first order. That's thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your order. thorne.fit/dailystoic. Use code dailystoic. And note, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Paradox 3, that all misdeeds are in themselves equal, and good deeds the same. The matter, it may be said, is a trifle, but the crime is enormous, for crimes are not to be measured by the issue of events, but from the bad intentions of men. The fact in which the sin consists may be greater in one instance and less in another, but guilt itself, in whatsoever light you behold it, is the same. A pilot oversees a ship laden with gold, or one laden with straw. In value, there is some difference, but in the ignorance of the pilot, there is none. Your illicit desire has fallen upon an obscure female. The mortification affects fewer persons than if it had been broken out in the case of some high-born and noble virgin. Nevertheless, it has been guilty, if it be guilty to overstep the mark. When you have done this, a crime has been committed. nor does it matter in aggravation of the fault how far you run afterward. Certainly, it is not lawful for anyone to commit sin, and that which is unlawful is limited by this sole condition, that it is shown to be wrong. If this guilt can neither be made greater nor less, because if the thing was unlawful, therein sin was committed, then the vicious acts which spring out of that, which is ever one and the same, must necessarily be equal. Now if virtues are equal among themselves, it must necessarily follow that vices are so likewise, and it is most easy to be perceived that a man cannot be better than good, more temperate than temperate, braver than brave, nor wiser than wise. Will any man call a person honest, who, having a deposit of 10 pounds of gold made to him without any witness, so that he might take advantage of it with impunity, shall restore it, and yet should not do the same in the case of 10,000 pounds? Can a man be accounted temperate, who checks one inordinate passion and gives a loose to another? Virtue is uniform, comfortable to reason, and of unvarying consistency. Nothing can be added to it that make it more than virtue. Nothing can be taken from it, and the name of virtue be left. If good offices are done with an upright intention, nothing can be more upright than upright is. And therefore, it is impossible that anything should be better than what is good. It therefore follows that all vices are equal, for the obliquities of the mind are properly termed vices. Now we may infer that as all virtues are equal, therefore all good actions, when they spring from virtues, ought to be equal likewise. And therefore it necessarily follows that evil actions springing from vices should be also equal. You borrow, says one, these views from philosophers. I was afraid you would have told me that I borrowed it from panders, but Socrates reasoned in the manner you do. By Hercules, you say well, for it is recorded that he was a learned and wise person. Meanwhile, as we are contending, not with blows, but with words, I ask you whether good men should inquire what was the opinion of porters and laborers, or that of the wisest of mankind. Especially, too, as no truer sentiment than this can be found, nor one more conducive to the interests of human life. For what influence is there which can more deter men from the commission of every kind of evil than if they become sensible that there are no degrees in sin? That the crime is the same, whether they offer violence to private persons or to magistrates. That in whatever families they have gratified their illicit desire, the turpitude of their lust is the same. But someone will say, what then? Does it make no difference whether a man murders his father or his slave? If you instance these acts abstractedly, it is difficult to decide of what quality they are. If to deprive a parent of life is in itself a most heinous crime, the Saguntines were then parricides because they chose that their parents should die as freemen rather than live as slaves. Thus, a case may happen in which there may be no guilt in depriving a parent of life, and very often, we cannot without guilt put a slave to death. The circumstances therefore attending this case, and not the nature of the thing, occasion the distinction. These circumstances, as they lean to either case, that case becomes the more favorable. But if they appertain alike to both, the acts are then equal. There is this difference, that in killing a slave, if wrong is done, it is a single sin that is committed, but many are involved in taking the life of a father. The object of violence is the man who begat you, the man who fed you, the man who brought you up, the man who gave your position in your home, your family, and the state. This offense is greater by reason of the number of sins involved in it, and is deserving of a proportionately greater punishment. But in life, we are not to consider what should be the punishment of each offense, but what is the rule of right to each individual. We are to consider everything that is not becoming as wicked, and everything that is unlawful as heinous. What, even in the most trifling matters? To be sure, for it were unable to regulate the course of events, yet we may place a bound to our passions. If a player dances ever so little out of time, if a verse is pronounced by him longer or shorter by a single syllable than it ought to be, he is hooted and hissed off the stage. And shall you, who ought to be better regulated than any gesture, and more regular than any verse, shall you be found faulty even in a syllable of conduct? I overlook the trifling faults of a poet, but shall I approve my fellow citizen's life while he is counting his misdeeds with his fingers? If some of these are trifling, how can it be regarded as more venial when whatever wrong is committed to the violation of reason and order? Now, if reason and order are violated, nothing can be added by which the offense can seem to be aggravated.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Stoic podcast. Just a reminder, we've got signed copies of all my books in the Daily Stoic store. You can get them personalized. You can get them sent to a friend. The obstacle is the way. Ego is the enemy. Stillness is the key. The leather-bound edition of the Daily Stoic. We have them all in the Daily Stoic store, which you can check out at store.dailystoic.com. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Okay, so if you had a time machine, how far in time would you need to go back to be a dominant basketball player of that era?
I need to go to when Bob Cousy was playing.
Back in the plumber days?
27-year-old Shea would give Bob Cousy the f***ing business. He's not guarding me.
Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano, and we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies,
woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea and I are combing through all of the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling ones, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Six Trophies ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus